Subject matter, trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. Brother Mike.
Thank you, dear brethren. And once again, I wanted to express my love to you. Thank you for this wonderful season of fellowship, of sharing our comments together, and I appreciated so much the testimony meeting. In a testimony meeting, you really get to see the nature, the character of the ecclesia, the experiences that they're going through on a very personal basis. And so, again, to me, it shows that love that binds us together. And, of course, you, dear brother in Chicago, have a special place in the hearts of our Orlando brethren. Appreciate your labors of love, your ongoing witness efforts, and how much you've done to spread the gospel message, and the wonderful leadership you've had here over the years from your elders and deacons, and how that has gone through the country spreading good lessons. So we're indeed thankful for you, dear brethren. Now, we picked a subject today about trees, and perhaps you may think that's an unusual subject, but, you know, we don't ever want to take a tree for granted. We had an experience in Orlando about 2 years ago. Of course, it was Hurricane Charlie. And we had a lot of trees in our neighborhood. And now, in our own county, in a neighboring county, they remove 50 million cubic yards of tree debris. Now, just think about that. It's just a phenomenal thing to witness. And as you travel, you see trees. And, of course, our seasons don't change the way yours do. I enjoyed seeing the leaves. But I appreciate trees. And we realize that throughout the history of mankind, trees have been very important from the very beginning. So, indeed, we're going to share with you some thoughts on trees of righteousness. Our theme text is coming from Isaiah 61, verse 3. 61, verse 3 in Isaiah. To appoint unto them in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. Now, I grew up in the north. Of course, our playground was often the forest. Didn't have all these pastimes now that the youth of our country would have. And so we would play in the trees. We would go out into the forest. We would take part in activities. And as I grew, I had a further appreciation of the beauty of the majesty of the Heavenly Father's creation. And so, as a child, we would often use the resources we had. We grew up in a country where they grew a lot of fruit. And every year, the children, which I had quite a few cousins, because there were on my dad's side of the family, 9 brothers and sisters, and 10 on my mother's side of the family. But the family would gather, and we'd go out to the orchard, and we'd get apples. And, of course, in those days, they did canning and made applesauce and so forth. And it was a really good experience to share with the family. And it's one that I'll never forget. And also, there's an experience that I wanted to relate. As a child, I lost my younger brother suddenly. And I remember my grandparents telling me that in the resurrection, he would come back and have a chance for life on this earth. And of course, they used the picture of a tree in springtime. It was dormant in the winter, but then it buds out and turns into a beautiful example of the Heavenly Father's love and His righteousness. And so it's an example to me, and it's one that I hold dear to my heart. Now let's look at some of the examples or references to trees used in the scriptures. We realize that there are types for kings and men of great wealth and power. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He dreamed about a tree growing and it's in the midst of the earth, and its height reached all the way to heaven. And then it was cut down. Of course, this dream was interpreted as representing himself, who his kingdom would be cut down because of the things he did that were displeasing to the Heavenly Father. Psalm 37:35, I have seen the wicked in great power, and it spreads himself like a green bay tree, a tree growing in its own soil. Of course, that represents pride. So, pride, growing in your own soil, not taking hold of the promises of God, not relying on Him, not leaning on Him. And in addition, we have several types of trees that are specifically mentioned in the Holy Word. We have an almond tree. Ecclesiastes 12:5. We have aloes in Numbers 24:6. And again, one of my favorites, the apple. Psalm 8:5. Because I think the apple tree, as I grew up in the Pocono Mountain area of Pennsylvania for many years, we had an orchard nearby that was about 800 acres, and they grew 23 varieties of apples. And each one was important to that orchard grower. And it shows that each one of you, although different, are just as important as the other. It shows to me an example of every member of the ecclesia being of vital importance. No matter if you are an elder, a deacon, if you serve behind the scenes, if you're one that gives a timely comment in a study, if you're a member that can express yourself from your heart in a testimony meeting. Again, each tree, each one, although different in some ways, are alike because they serve God, they have a singleness of purpose, and that is bringing praise and glory and honor to the name of the Heavenly Father. There's also a reference in the Bible. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Deuteronomy 32:10. I know you've heard that before. There's even a poem. I think I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. And it goes on with some beautiful expressions. And the author really painted a picture of God's handiwork and how he was concerned about his creation and the creatures that would gain nourishment and vitality from the tree. We have also the cedar tree, which is called the Glory of Lebanon. And the cedar tree is an evergreen. And I know that you all realize that this evergreen tree is a picture of everlasting life. It's the promise of the restitution of all things spoken of by the mouth of all the holy prophets. There's also an oak tree. And the oak tree, you know, that's, when you think of an oak tree, don't you think of strength? It's strong, sturdy, withstand things. A symbol of the Heavenly Father's character from everlasting to everlasting, a firm, unchangeable God and His wonderful attributes, the mercy, justice, wisdom, love, and power. Again, strong, sturdy. We also recall the oil that was used to anoint the vessels of the tabernacle, even the altar, the laver, and the priests themselves. The formula, again, our Heavenly Father set an exact formula for that. And I think He also, in turn, He sets an exact formula for our spiritual growth, because we're taking different parts of things, and that's coming together in that pleasing character likeness. And again, the different parts of that loaf fitted together for the blessing of the nations, bringing praise and glory to God. And that was mixed with other elements. It's in Exodus 30, verse 22. It had cinnamon, sweet calamus. And of course, we realize that this holy oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. There's also an example of the two olive trees from which the oil proceeds. Refers to, in the scriptures, to the Old and New Testaments. Again, Paul said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we were taught these things firsthand. There's the harmonious development of the promises of God from the Old Testament through to the end, all the way to Revelation, and the things that will become beyond. God's two witnesses, 1 Peter 1:4 and Revelation 21:1-6. These are those exceeding great and precious promises. Remember also that Solomon built his temple, the house of the Lord. And when he built that, he took those forests, those cedars of Lebanon, in 1 Kings 7:2. But he did more. He covered them with gold, because that, of course, is the symbol of the divine nature. It was God's instructions that he wanted to follow. And we realize we want to do that too, because if we look at the words from 2 Timothy 3:16-17, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it's that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished in all good works. Now, how many of you remember, again, back to your childhood? I was blessed that I grew up in a truth home. My grandparents were consecrated footstep followers of the Lord. When I went to visit my grandparents on both sides of the family, our stories were Bible stories. Our songs were hymns that we sang together. The story of Zacchaeus, who climbed up in that sycamore tree, he wanted to see the Lord, recorded in Luke 19:2. And his name in Hebrew comes from a word signifying pure, because he came from a noble family. He so desired to see the Lord that he made a sacrifice. He risked his all to go up there. Ridicule from those who thought lesser of our Lord. But our Lord Jesus, what did he do? He blessed him for his effort. And even went to the man's house and he dwelt there and communed with him. We remember our Lord's parable concerning experiences in Matthew 21:29. He spake that parable, saying, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall now shoot forth, see ye and know of yourself that summer is now nigh at hand. This generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. We see the nation of Israel in existence. I know that Brother George Tabak gave a wonderful witness to this. In the case of this fig tree, God's favor returning. And again, first in this fig tree, the fruit comes first and then the leaves. And that follows to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And we know that that's the way God wants it to do. And there are so many countries in the world today, more than we've ever had. Again, these pictures that we see of the time in which we are living, prophecies being fulfilled, which leads to the full restitution of all things. Again, mankind knowing the Father, calling Him Father, you know, I will be your God, you'll be my people, and blessing all the families of the earth. His kingdom will be rich in foliage. And as we were writing here again, I haven't seen it for a while, because I work, and in October we work. I can't get away in the fall too much. When you see this, you realize, and I was thinking about, there will be a rich canopy, a rich foliage of things pleasing to the eyes of man, but not from a temporal way. It'll be from an obedience, a loving way. And then also realizing that no one will want, no one will go to bed hungry, no one will be crying, and they will be filled. The foliage of God's favor covers Israel. It's manifest to all. She will be ripe. She's ready for the work of blessing, feeding, and healing the nations. We realize it's made possible because our Lord died on a tree. Nailed to the cross, He willingly laid down His life to redeem the world of mankind from sin and death. In our own experiences, we realize that oxygen comes from the during the food-making process, the nourishment of the life cycle of a tree. It's given off then for us and every living creature to breathe. And man values wood and trees to a very high extent. We realize that environmentalists are concerned because the rainforests are disappearing at an alarming rate. Thousands of acres a week. So great was the destruction of the rainforest that the astronauts could see it from space, the fires burning. We realize, though, that the Heavenly Father permits these things and He'll restore it all. The desert shall blossom as a rose. And just think, if you look at a tree now and see the beauty, can you imagine how beautiful it is on a restored, perfect earth with no imperfections? So mankind will indeed value trees in the future. Man does now. For fuel, as I was raised part of my life on a farm, at this time of year, we would have had to have most of our wood collected to get us through the winter. My grandmother had, I don't know if you remember them, she had a stove that you burn wood in, and that would heat the kitchen. They had a fireplace and so forth, so you had to have that wood there to sustain you through the winter. Of course, mankind uses it to produce paper for our publishing. And again, wood is so valued. Just try to go out and buy some wood for cabinets or furniture. Cherry wood, mahogany. These woods are very expensive. So even today, with all of our building technology, wood still is a valued and prized possession. And continues to be. So wood was prized also in the Bible. It was used to make the various furniture pieces that the Heavenly Father instructed Noah to build. He told him to build the ark out of wood, Tiba. And he gave him the exact specifications on how to build it. And also how to use it. It was also in the case in the construction of the Ark of the Covenant. God told Moses to have it built out of shittim wood, which then He covered with gold. Again, that's that symbol of purity and of the divine character. The Ark where God would commune with the children of Israel through the priest. and above the mercy seat between the two cherubims, which were on both sides. And we had that Shekinah light there. It showed that God's presence was with them. Number 7 and verse 89. So, brethren, we realize that trees are very important. And if we go way back to the beginning in the creation story, we know that it's brought out in Genesis 2:9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The pastor writes in volume 1, page 209, there were trees of life, many like a grove, one of which was forbidden to eat of. And so it refers to this literal tree. And if they partook of those trees, it would have given them life-sustaining nourishment. Again, one of the reasons why I looked into this study of trees, in the middle of this year, we had the privilege to go up to serve the brethren in Atlanta. I guess from here it would be down to Atlanta. But we went to a preserve that a philanthropist had set aside, about 30,000 acres of wooded terrain, and he had planted all manner of trees in there, dogwood trees and cherry trees, and you can't imagine just the beauty in the spring of these. I had visited in the spring, and then in the summer, it's just a beautiful thing to go there and reflect, and the peaceful quietness, just the wind blowing through the leaves. And if you come from a city, and you're hearing all the noise of traffic and the talking and that, what a peaceful way to reflect. And you go there, and you know, there were 4 of us walking, and we, as we were walking, we were reflecting on God's handiwork. It inspired us to think of His goodness and the beauty of His character. And it brought me great peace of mind. And so I really appreciate this example that the Heavenly Father gives to us. And the privilege one day, if you're faithful, that you could be a tree of righteousness, bringing blessings to all the families of the earth. We realize that through the transgression of Adam and Eve, they were barred from the garden because they did partake of that tree. And that is in Genesis 3:24. Flaming sword, cherubims to keep the way away from the tree of life. Deuteronomy 20:9 tells us the tree is man's life. It is man's life. You know, and that, of course, that does refer to if you follow the Father's commandments and what He's asking of you, it's going to lead to life. It'll lead to a newness of life for the church in heaven and for mankind on a restored perfect earth. Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom, she is a tree of life. And to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The paradise of God. What a glorious heavenly position which God has in store for the church. Again, the more than overcomers, the called, the chosen, the faithful. Revelation 22:1-2. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, we were just talking in the intermission. In Florida, we have many freshwater springs, more than any state in North America and the United States. This is First Magnitude Springs over 1 million gallons of fresh water, some per day, some per hour. Think about that. That's a lot of water. But they're fresh, clear as crystal. And it shows the purity of God's Word, unpolluted, coming from His throne, His majesty, and then bringing nourishment to those who are athirst, those who want to be filled with this truth. And it says in verse 2 of Revelation 22, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 fruits, yielded the fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, you dear ones, if faithful, you help mankind to be healed, to go on and progress up that highway of holiness. And we see that Son of Righteousness arising with healing in His wings and His beams, and taking care of all the ills of the world. Again, going back to Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city. Enter in through the gates of the city. So we realize that the world of mankind will be able to enter through the gates of this new Jerusalem. And it is made up of not only the picture of the trees of life, but it's made up of the stones that the world would reject, but that are being shaped and chiseled and polished, selected by God. The stones that are assembled in a temple. And when that is complete, we realize that, again, it leads to that all-knowing of Him, to the least, from the least to the greatest. And you know, brethren, another point about that, we realize this, that the sound, there was not a sound of a hammer or a chisel when these stones were being quarried. And you realize that that points to the fact that the selection, the calling, the chiseling, the shaping of the church is gone on basically unknown to the world of mankind. They don't see your sacrifice being laid upon the altar and trying to keep it there daily. But they should see, as was expressed in one of the testimonies, your character, the goodness of your heart, and your compassion for all of fellow man. The world doesn't necessarily see it. I went to work after the bad tsunami that struck. And I came in and I was a little sad and looking. And I said, the lady asked me, why do you look a little sad? And I said, well, you know, I'm sad because of the misery and suffering, but I know that's going to come to an end. She said, well, we don't need to worry about those people. We need to worry about us here in our own land. And, you know, it's easy to judge that character as being a selfish one, but we realize that their eyes of understanding are not open. And they don't see the loving Creator for who He is and what He is. But again, we have joy in knowing that they will again, as we said earlier, rise from that sleep of death and have an opportunity to progress and learn of God. We also look, if we look at the scriptures, there are chastisements associated really with the proper use of trees. And it was first given to the nation of Israel, the proper use of trees for wood and so forth. Because there's a danger in where your first love lies. Does it lie with God and our Lord? And the truth in the brethren? In Revelation 2, 2-5, it says, I know your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance. You have preserved, you have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And if you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove you, your lampstand from its place. We have to strive to do the will of God, but we reverence Him. We don't fear God in that way the world does, but we reverence Him. We love Him with our whole heart. And so we look. You know, Paul said, these things are written to you for examples that you might learn. We read that. We just studied that. Jude went over it a couple of days, and we're reading that. These things are lessons. They're examples for us to follow. And we want to follow them. If we go back to some of those examples, some of those chastisements, Deuteronomy 20, 19 and 20. If you besiege a city for a long time, you make war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof, for thou mayest eat of them. For the tree of the field is man's life again, as we said. Only the trees which thou knowest are not for meat, thou shalt destroy. Also, Deuteronomy 16:21, thou shalt not plant trees or in a grove of trees near any altar of the Lord, thy God, which thou shalt make thee, nor set up any graven image. And you know, this had to be said because, as we realize, the children of Israel, as long as things were going all right, they were fine. But we realized that they got caught up in worldly influences and they let those around them permeate their own beliefs in God, their own services, their own sacrifices. The Assyrians were allowed to build up groves of trees and would worship their false gods. And they didn't put them down in the valley. They put their temples on the highest point of the hill. Altars erected there, 2 Kings 8:6 and 2 Kings 17:10. Set up images in high places and under every green tree. And Israel allowed it to happen. Now it starts small again. The adversary, he's looking for a way to get in there, to plant something and then go with it. And of course, if we trust in the Lord, we know the wicked one touches us not. Our cup is filled up with the promises of God, His blessings. The Holy Spirit of understanding, there's no room for the other things to get in there. Our cup should be filled to overflowing. And then they took a figure to come along. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, he came in and he removed those high places. He broke the images. He cut down the groves. And he even broke to pieces that brazen serpent which Moses had made because the children of Israel burned incense to it. And he trusted in the Lord. 2 Kings 18:4 and 5. Doesn't it sound like a page from the headlines today? False gods of every description being worshipped. Even in our little area there, where I live in a town called Castleberry, it's about 7 miles from downtown Orlando. It was a big controversy lately. They're building a Hindu temple. And it has 146 gods. And they even brought artisans from India to carve them in stone. And people were outraged at it. But of course, freedom of religion and so forth. But 156, how they came upon that number, I don't know. But these people were so excited because now they didn't have to have their one in their home. They could go there and actually see. And these images, they believe, actually turn into that God. They are so blinded. And it's prevalent today. Again, we have assurance that these things will be done away with. Job 24:20, wickedness shall be broken as the tree. Everything that stands in the way of God's plans and purposes will be removed. Remember the circumstances that were in Haggai, written 15 years after the return of Israel from Babylonian captivity. It would really serve as a reproof to the people for neglecting the important work of rebuilding the temple and in turn then serving God better. It's recorded in Haggai 1:8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And what did the people do? At first, they got the wood and they added on to their own houses. They made bigger porches. They fixed up their places. It says, it goes on, they made comfortable houses and gardens, and the temple lay desolate. And God would eventually stir up a sense of duty and privilege, and the temple would be rebuilt, and the foundation stones. Just one quick story. My father was in the building industry. He was a superintendent, built a lot of bridges and buildings, and a town was complaining about their old bridge. So the state got in there. They were going to build them a new bridge. But in order to start it, they had to frame it out with this lumber. You know, to get it, tear down the old, start the new construction for the concrete pillars and that. And they had a huge supply area, fenced off now, with the wood that they would use to form the concrete footers and so forth. Now, these people were demanding this bridge. It's unsafe. And you know what happened? People went and stole that wood. And on the hillside, my father looked and he saw a new deck and a porch at a house from the same neighborhood that complained that the bridge wasn't right for them. It's the same type of a thing. They didn't do what they should have done, but they complained. So there's a sense of duty. It's a privilege to serve the true and living God. And again, the children of Israel would go ahead and begin laying the foundation stones. And again, it's a wonderful lesson for us. Are we living near to God? Or are we living near to self? Do we say, well, I'll serve God tomorrow, today I have to do this and that? You vowed that vow once again, and you want to follow the instructions that He gives us and willingly do that. Of course, we're thankful that we've had the work of the seventh messenger. He gave us these studies in the scriptures. He helps point out the truths and separates them from error. And he shows us how our Lord is the foundation of the temple, built upon those precious promises of God, and revealed the present truth through the Holy Spirit that He had and on down to the church to build upon it. And again, that's that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Malachi 3:1. And in Colossians 1:9, again, I will fill this house, the spiritual house, with glory, the glory of the divine nature. And you want to be more than overcomer and partake in that. The good works are developing our character. Hebrews 12:6-8. You know, the Heavenly Father, He's more than willing to help you perform this. You've been planted together, and you have become united with our Lord. I am the vine, ye are the branches, planted in the likeness of His death, and also then in the likeness of His resurrection. Romans 6:5. And in this way, He opened the way, let's say, for each one to have an opportunity to become trees of righteousness, growing in character likeness, walking in a pattern. And there's a condition really that is implied here. It's one of faithfulness. We realize that. And we come to realize that God is with us. Again, we talked about His unchangeableness, And he wants us to daily prove and show our faithfulness to him. You know, let my feet be swift on errands for thee, dear Father. Let my lips speak forth thy praise. There's a scripture that says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's a wonderful scripture. Think about it, though, for a minute. Is there anything that can separate you? Can self separate you? It can. Self and selfish interest can separate us from the love of God. And it shows us again how careful we have to be that we are striving to use that light of truth through the Holy Spirit and then to feed on His Word, obtain proper nourishment. And really, in the picture of a tree, we realize that a tree has roots. If you ever tried to dig one out, Brother Ernie Kinsley during the hurricane, he had a huge tree that went over in his yard, missed his home. And I believe that root ball and the stump weighed about 5,000 pounds. So it's a massive undertaking to remove that. My point in being is this. We want to have roots that go deep. And they're strong. They tap into the Lord's precious promises. They rely on His love. And they're seeking after the water of life. I'm sure many of you have planted a tree. You know that the tree will send out its roots and also that they go long distances and through many obstacles to get to the water. It's a picture of us overcoming the weakness of the flesh, obstacles that stood in our way. We heard today in the testimony meeting about overrulings. This is all being permitted that we can reach out through those obstacles to obtain our goal, the water of refreshment. And with refreshment from that water comes vitality. You know, they've shown it in studying the schools. I happen to work in a school system. All of our children have bottles of water on their desk because it keeps your brain cells fresh and it keeps the things going as they should. It's an important aspect. And so how much more important it should be to us to have this vitality from the water of the Word, the truth. And our Lord wants us to do this. It's in Matthew 5:6. You know the words. Blessed is he who hungers and he thirsts after righteousness' sake. Does it end there? It says, for he shall be filled. So if you're seeking after these things, you're going to be filled. And part of this reaching out, again, it's reflected in personal study and growth, development, learn more of His ways. And if you're deeply rooted, you're going to be able to withstand the things that the adversary is slinging at you. Several years ago, my wife and I had to go to the store. We had several trees in front of our house, and a storm came up. And our son, Tim, called us, and he said, Dad? But it wasn't a nice kind of a dad, you know. And you get alarmed. And he said, remember that tree in front of the house? And when he said, remember that tree, now what happened to the tree? We had a microburst, a downdraft. It blew this tree over. This was an immense tree. And in an instant, that tree was blown down. You know, the workers came out later that afternoon because it cleared up and it was nice out. And they came by, city workers, because it kind of fell across the sidewalk and they were going to remove it. And one of the workmen said, you know, I passed by here so many times and I saw that tree. And I said, wow, what a strong, sturdy tree that is. He said, I didn't realize that the roots were not strong, that they were shallow. It looked strong, but it wasn't. We want to be strong on the outside and strong on the inside. You know, we have that shield, the armor on, and then a heart that is loving and kind and, again, deeply rooted and can withstand, because we don't know what circumstance we're going to have. On that day when we left, it was a beautiful sunshiny day. A half hour later, a storm came. We have to be prepared for these things that are coming our way. Because if we say we have faith in God, if we say we trust in Him, we're going to be put to the test along those lines. But David spoke really some wonderful words that showed his confidence and trust in the Father. And we have sympathy with David. It's in the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Trees of life in the holy city. Again, back to Revelation 22. Paul speaks of it as a full assurance of hope in Hebrews 6:11. And the full assurance of faith in Hebrews 10:22. And he could say, you know, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Therefore, there are laid up for me treasures in heaven. We want to have a heart condition that shows that we are indeed one of the Lord's people. We want to have expressions of great joy and great blessing. This rest of heart that only a true child of God can have. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so they're ordered. If we're walking in the ways, He's helping to remove those stumbling blocks, the things of our character that are displeasing, that stand in the way of us knowing Him better, of understanding the prophecies, and of using that. And then, again, in times of trouble, we can draw strength from that rich supply. As it's stored up in the roots, and then it goes up through the tree to every branch of the tree, to the leaves, even the smallest branch that would have one. And so, we go through experiences, we go through joys and sorrows, hardships and difficulties. And it's really reflected, I think, in the growth rings of a tree. When they cut down that tree, and it took a while to cut it, they counted about 85 rings in the tree. And as I was looking at them, and I did this again when I was out in the Pacific Northwest, when a large tree that was over 2,500 years blew over and was about 14 to 15 feet. If you laid it here, it would reach up to this curtain and higher, the log. You look at the ring. Sometimes the growth rings were very small. There were hardships. There were discouragements. There were times of less water, of more drought. There were times when the rings were fatter. When you were growing and developing. You know, but the purpose is, the point of it is, there was growth. And we have to grow. Sometimes we make large strides. Sometimes we make small ones. We have small victories. But again, we have to continue to grow. And we will, with the Lord's help, we can and we will. And we realize that we want to lead a life pleasing to Heavenly Father. We don't want to get caught up in this spirit of the world and worldliness brought out in John 15:6. We want to be like it says in Jeremiah 17:7-8. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be planted by the waters, and as a tree spreadeth out her roots by the river, her leaves shall be green and will not stop bearing fruit. And that's really the comment we really want to end with as we close our service. It's fruit bearing. If we're living close to Christ and have this great love, we have to go on to that next step. Now, when you plant a tree, when I planted my citrus tree, I liked the shade and the pretty colors and the blossoms, but I wanted it to bear forth fruit. The Lord God called you out of darkness. He did the planting. He does the watering, but it's up to you to get the nourishment from it and use it to bear the fruit. And so bearing fruit, it's an important aspect of our discussion of trees. John 15:4, this aspect of fruit bearing. And again, it's not of ourselves, but it is our covenant relationship with the Lord. We draw strength through Him. We get our vitality through Him. And we get the Holy Spirit dispensed through Him. It says in Romans 7:4, it's the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as with the growth of a tree. These fruits grow gradually. Now, the orange blossoms came out, then we had tiny oranges the size of peas, and now they're pretty good size. And in February and so forth, they'll be ripe. But it's taken time. It takes time. And if God has called you, He's going to give you the time to grow and develop, put your strong roots out, and bear fruit. Because, again, it's for the blessings of all the families of the earth. So, brethren, let us continue to put forth strong roots. Use the truth, the water of life, to keep yourself refreshed and energized, that you can be, as it says again in Revelation 22:1, it's a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Either side of the river were trees of life. And again, picture that glorious scene. The trees of life there, and the fruits of the Spirit to sustain life. For indeed, the fruit thereof shall be meat, and the leaves thereof shall be for the healing of all the nations. Ezekiel 47:12. And dear brethren, once again, I've enjoyed this season of fellowship. And I appreciate your love and devotion and service, your example. And may the Lord bless you all. Amen.